and turned around in the seat, fearing an escape attempt was beginning. As he moved, he accidentally tugged on the reins, bringing the heads of the horses around to the right, toward the edge of a drop camouflaged by a bank of fresh snow. The front wheel of the rig slithered away from the cliff on their left toward the sheer drop on the other side, slipping through the crust of snow like a knife through parchment.
Whoa! Whoa!
Knuckles had a fraction of a second to save them from disaster. He stood, sawing at the reins, trying to heave the horses around to the left, away from the sighing abyss. But his boots slipped in the icy slush, and he half fell, knocking into Diego Capistrano, who clutched at his arm, knocking him totally off balance. Michael saw the canvas-topped wag begin to slide inexorably toward the right, the rear wheel teetering on the brink for a heart-stopping moment. Then, it went over. JB did a backflip off the tail, landing in a crouch, his Uzi ready for action. Rena Miller managed to get to her feet, standing spread-legged in the bed of the wag, her mouth open in a silent rictus of terror. Capistrano dove clumsily off the side, landing with a jolt on the edge of the trail. Ryan turned his horse, watching helplessly as the rig slipped ponderously away, the horse's hooves scrabbling helplessly for purchase. It began to roll down the steep hillside, Knuckles still hanging onto the reins. Baron Nelson filled the room, his 7.5 feet towering above the two women and the boy. 300 pounds of solid muscle and bone moved ponderously toward Christie, who was nearest to him.
I'll pull your flame-bright head off your shoulders and piss down your neck. Then I'll rip the face off the black bitch.
He smiled broadly, his mouth visible among the acres of white beard.
After that, the boy's all mine.
Says you, shit for brains.
The boy threw the Baron the finger. The room was filling with coils of foul-smelling smoke from the smoldering corpse in the grate. Christie kept the little pistol leveled in her hand, knowing that the question of Ryan's arrival back at the Ville had become academic. Whatever happened was going down right now between the four of them.
This is for whores. Clean, cold steel is best for filthy, hot slag bitches. Ah!
The first .22 caliber bullet hit Baron Alfred Nelson through the shoulder, lower and to the right of where Christie had aimed. He took a faltering, uncertain step to his right, nearly dropping the saber.
That was a mistake doing that. Now it'll be a slow killing for you, whore.
Shoot him again.
The damn blaster's not accurate.
And that was the last bullet, my dear. Dear mother only ever bothered to load in four of the little pea poppers.
Nelson stood and bowed, presenting the sword with a flourish, as though he were playing a courtier in some antique vid.
Let me have it, Christie. Then I'll let you have it. Your delightful, fire-braided head can decorate the main gate into the bill on a pike, you worthless sow!
As he took another step toward her, Christie pulled the trigger again.
Didn't I tell you, bitch? Only four rounds and they're all gone. You made your play, and you lost.
Blood trickled steadily from the tiny black hole in his shoulder, but it didn't bother him at all. No more than a hammer's blow on the armored flank of a war wag. Christie thumped back the hammer for the last time, took aim at the center of the arrogant, sneering face, and pulled the trigger.
Off with your head, bitch!
She fumbled, trying to thumb the hammer back for a last desperate attempt. It was around in the chamber, she could see it. The Baron hefted the saber above his head, taking a shuffling step that brought him within reach of the woman. Dean hurled himself at Nelson, like a human projectile, the knife held out in front of him as he dove. It struck the giant just above the left knee, the point grating off bone. Dean let go and rolled to one side, dodging the furious kick, seeing the turquoise hilt of his knife glowing in the Baron's thigh.
Fucking little...
Alfred lowered the long blade and stooped to pluck out the dagger. Christie saw her chance. Instead of retreating, she advanced, ramming the muzzle of the tiny revolver into the bending Baron's open mouth. The tip of the foresight broke a splinter off one of the man's front teeth. Baron Nelson clamped his powerful jaws on the steel barrel. For a crazed moment, Christie had a vision of him biting through it. He swung back his right arm, still holding the brass hilt of the saber. Tattered velvet ribbons of gold and maroon thread dangling from the guard. Christy pulled the trigger. A dozen miles to the north, Ryan swung from the saddle of the Skewbald and drawing the Sig Sauer from its holster.
Fire blast!
He watched Capistrano's wagon plunge from sight over the edge of the wooded valley. The rig broke apart as it rolled down the steep slope toward the narrow river at its bottom. Michael had toppled off his borrowed mount, while Doc was fighting to manage his own stallion. The black horse was rearing wide-eyed, and it was all the old man could do to control it and save himself a bad fall. The wag had become jammed on its side, about 60 feet down, between two large ponderosas. One horse was clearly dead, its head thrown back on its neck at a hideously unnatural angle. The other animal was barely moving, feebly kicking its hind legs, which were tangled in the traces. The main shaft of the wag had broken, and two of the wheels had sheared off, one of them still rolling drunkenly toward the water. The canvas top was torn, but it was so dark, with the snow billowing all around, that Ryan couldn't make out what was happening below. He could make out the shape of what he guessed was Knuckles, lying sprawled close to the wreckage. As he stared into the gloom, the figure moved and staggered clumsily to its feet. One arm seemed to be hanging limply at his side.
Are you all right?
My arm's broken. My leg's busted to hell. Well, it goes with my hunchback and scarred face. I never did have much luck, Ryan.
Get up here if you can. Make it fast. Bastards in the rig could be getting themselves free.
If they survived, what a terrible accident.
At least they will have no armaments, will they?
Doc had won his battle with his horse, and also stood alongside the others, the Lama clutched in his hand.
Are there any blasters in the rig, Knuckles?
I can't get up!
The lad obviously hadn't heard the question.
I'll go help him.
Wait a minute.
Knuckles! Do you know if there are any blasters in the wag?
We're fucked anyway.
Why? Because of the time?
Yeah. We'll never get them to Vista by dawn on foot. Not through this weather.
Hey! Any chance of me getting a hand up?
Ryan, let me and Doc go down.
You and John Barrymore could keep us covered from up here if there's any danger from that evil quintet. We can't just leave that poor boy.
It was a razor-edge decision. People like Jennison, Gooseneck, and the others wouldn't just be lying down there waiting. They'd be working on getting free, assuming that the rolling wag hadn't knocked them all unconscious. The inside of the rig would be a shambles, with everything tossed about. But professional killers would be able to spot a firearm at 100 paces through a dust storm.
No, don't go down. I protest most strongly, my dear fellow.
We'll all go down together, slow and careful. And keep an eye on the wag.
Knuckles stood and waited patiently, leaning against a lightning-scarred redwood, his upturned face a pale blur in the night.
Spread out on a skirmish line. JB, take the left. Mind your footing and watch the wag.
The ground was treacherous, plowed up by the tumbling wag, muddy and icy. It took a great deal of concentration to avoid a fall. There had been no sound of movement from inside the rig, the stained canvas stretched tight over the iron frame. Suddenly, silently, a silver knife point appeared and quickly slashed the coarse material from top to bottom.
Watch out!
Knuckles began to turn to look behind him at the wag. Jennison was first out through the torn canvas, squeezing off a round from the scattergun he held at his hip. He hit the steep slope running, his feet slipping as he scurried for cover. Julio was second out, holding a knife, followed by Ossie Grant. He struggled for balance as he landed in the snow-covered mud, giving Ryan time to shoot him through the stomach and again through the side of the head as he collapsed to the ground. Jennison fired a second time at the four men moving down the steep side of the valley. They dove for cover, giving Gooseneck and Rena time to scuttle from the back of the rig, the woman limping heavily as she ran for safety. Ryan had flattened himself behind an oak tree, squinting to one side of the gnarled trunk, and seeing to his horror that Knuckles remained standing in the open.
Get down!
The woman saw him and tried a shot, the starring lead ripping through the snow-covered branches just above Ryan's head. Doc and JB were holding fire, unable to get a clear shot through the driving snow and the clustered trees.
Knuckles, get down!
but Ryan's shout had no effect. The hunchbacked lad had turned away and was hopping toward the wag, where Rena and Gooseneck had taken cover. When Knuckles was only a couple of stumbling steps away, the woman appeared, her hair matted and tangled with the snow, and she leveled the scattered